On this episode of the Colts Corner podcast, the boys will interview Jalen Shea and talk a little Colts hoops. They'll also discuss football awards. We'll talk NFL college football end of the regular season. Mikey Hotstove will have his segment and a couple more topics. We're ready to do it. Let's go. Welcome to December on the Colts Corner podcast. I'm Douglas Satuca alongside Brian Flatow, Benjamin Dixon, and Michael Garafa. Constantine and Ryan Dixon in studio live for this Colts Corner podcast. We've got a lot to discuss. Sports are great, as always. And let's start with an interview that we conducted with basketball player Jalen Shea.
So I actually got the chance to catch up with Jalen just a few moments ago before this podcast, and I was able to ask him a good few questions, and definitely worth listening to here.
Okay, Jalen, so what is beginning of the season like for you so far?
Beginning of the season is going very well. We're working together as a team. Right now we're 2-0. We're doing real well. I'm just happy to be back out with my guys.
So what is the outlook of the season looking like so far, and what are your goals for this team for the rest of the season?
The obvious goal is to win, work together as a team. As long as everyone works hard, we'll be fine.
So what are some goals that you have for yourself personally for this upcoming season?
To just lead my team, make sure everyone's doing right, be a leader, work hard. As long as I work hard, I should be fine. That's the goal.
Yeah, no, Jalen's leading the team pretty well so far. They're 2-0 with wins over Millennium. It's an 80-56 win, and winning at East Meadow on Tuesday, 95-66. He's one of the top 25 scorers on Long Island so far this season, averaging 18 points per game. And in that win at East Meadow, Bryce Bland, double-double, 14 points, 10 assists. And his brother Brent also with 20 points and 6 rebounds. Colby Jordan with 14 points. Jordan Rader with 10. So a lot of contributors so far for the Colts. And I'm excited to get out there and cover a game within the coming weeks.
Yeah, a lot of contributors and a lot of young talent. That's only a few seniors that you named there. So there's a bright future for this squad. And a bright future for this season, too. They're looking great to start the season.
Yeah, we're going to have a article out, a winter sports preview, talking about basketball, girls and boys, swimming, wrestling, and fencing. So check that out once it is published and handed out to you guys, the student body. We're shooting for a live broadcast of the boys' basketball team this Tuesday. That's our goal.
December 11th.
Yeah, that's December 11th. That would be our first live broadcast for basketball of the season. And that could be really exciting as we move forward with basketball. We'll be doing girls and boys throughout the season. Let's talk some football awards. We had Mike Carubia on in the last podcast. Since then, a couple of awards have come to Hills West and been handed out to the players and the team overall.
Yeah, the Hills West football team won the Rutgers Cup, which is the award for the best team in Suffolk County. Obviously, a huge accomplishment taking down West Hampton in that Suffolk County final, and we saw what they did in the Long Island Championship. Just overall, got to be the best team in Suffolk County, no doubt about that. And Brian, Coach Madden, great year for him, Coach of the Year, and just a lot of overall achievements for the team this year.
Yeah, it feels like the golden days right now of Hills West football. Like, they won the championship, and now they're just living. Like, they have, they feel like the Philadelphia Eagles after they won the Super Bowl last year, almost, obviously, to a lesser extent. But there's, we should start having some parades and stuff.
I feel like the Washington Capitals out here.
We should do that. Exactly. Just a lot of awards coming our way. It's and truly fully deserved for the Colts. Just an absolutely amazing season.
Yeah, I also saw Justin Brown, Gerald Filardi, and I believe Davon Wright were all named to the Newsday All Long Island team. Not 100% on that, but wouldn't be surprised if that was 100% correct. I saw it on Twitter. Obviously, a huge accomplishment for the boys, all with great seasons, and overall, just great season for Hills West being put in the bright lights for now.
One of our sports guys, Constantine, maybe the future of the Colts Corner podcast, caught up with one of the wrestlers, Christian, earlier on.
Okay, Christian, what are some expectations for the wrestling team this year?
I think that later in the season, we're going to get some really good technique, and we're going to be really good. We're not going to be tired in matches, that we can go into the third period nice and rested if that happens. Yeah, I think we just gotta spruce up our technique a little bit, and then we're ready. We got some good stamina, and I think we'll be good for the season.
Okay, what are some of your personal goals for this season here?
Me personally, is to have a positive or at least a record where I get the same amount of wins and same losses. I just want to try to get to a decent varsity record, but hopefully I can get there. I don't know if I can.
Okay, and shining some light on your teammates this time. Who do you think is a who do you think are some wrestlers that we should watch out for this season?
Well, our team, all of our wrestlers are good. All of our wrestlers deserve to be on varsity. All of our wrestlers are good. They're well-trained. They have good technique. But I think some wrestlers, we got Dakota Asuncion, ranked number 5 in his weight class in Section 11. Yusef Harash, league champion at 285 last year. Watch out for him. Michael Stone, solid at 182. Ben Lucrete and Khalid Barrett at 126. And Brandon Waring at 170. You're going to want to watch out for them. Yeah, there's some good wrestlers that I think could take leagues, counties, or even states this year. I think they all have a chance.
Okay, Christian. Thank you so much.
All right. You're welcome.
So it should be a great season for the Hills West wrestlers as they look to make a playoff push, possibly win some awards there. Yeah, so success for the football team as we move into the winter sports. We'll keep you guys updated on everything going on. We'll move to the professional level. NFL football tonight, a AFC matchup. AFC South matchup between Jacksonville and Tennessee. Jacksonville struggled. As we know, they were predicted and projected to be in that AFC championship game this year. Just hasn't come. That goal has just not come out. And Tennessee at 6-6, so they're in the middle of the pack looking to sneak into that playoff spot. So it should be a good game tonight.
Yeah, one of the interesting things with that Jacksonville team is everyone knows their struggles are offensively, and that their defensive numbers have actually been down this season, but they still have an elite defense. It still might be the best defense in the league. It probably is, honestly. It's them, the Bears, the Ravens, maybe the Cowboys. You want to throw them into there. The Rams, I guess. They've been struggling this season, but personnel-wise, it could be the Rams. But we all know that Jaguars' defense is absolutely elite. Obviously, quarterback is the biggest question mark on that team. They don't have a lot of talent at receiver, and quarterback's been a struggle this year. Cody Kessler's starting right now with Blake Bortles getting the boot. But Leonard Fournette is definitely a bright spot. They get him back this week after his one-game suspension. It's going to be an interesting matchup tonight. I mean, not the best matchup we could have asked for. There's no winning records in this game tonight. Definitely we had a better one last week when the Saints actually were taken down. But could be fun to watch football.
Yeah, this game definitely does not pop off the board, but it is Thursday night. We'll all be watching. And Tennessee is an interesting spot here, 6-6. This is their first meeting this season with Jacksonville.
Wow.
So they do have another one coming on the road later on in the season. And Tennessee, I mean, this is the playoffs for them right now. It's a must win. You lose, you're probably going to fall behind the pack at 6-6 right now. If you keep on winning, you have a shot. But so definitely a must win for Tennessee. And Jacksonville, obviously, with Cody Kessler, I mean, playing for pride at this point. Hopefully. I mean, you don't like to see guys quit on the field. But this game, obviously, it's really not that interesting, but definitely a must win for Tennessee.
So currently Jacksonville ranks 4th worst in the drive perspective. They only have 9.8 drive points per game, which is not very high. The Jaguars have just, their offense has not been as good as they would have liked. And the Titans are 3rd best on defense, as they've only allowed 11 drive points per game, which is, that's definitely going to, they're going to collide right there, because they haven't allowed many drive points, and Jacksonville's really been terrible with their drive points. So that'll definitely affect their game.
Let's talk about a more intriguing AFC matchup.
Absolutely.
Between Indianapolis and Houston. This has huge playoff implications. We talked about Tennessee at 6-6, Indianapolis at 6-6 after a tough loss last week against Jacksonville. That's 6-0. I mean, head beat. That was just not a hair pulling matchup. Just all about the defenses in that one. And this one's could be a really exciting matchup. Indianapolis trying to figure stuff out, trying to sneak in as well. Houston red hot, and divisional matchups are always fun to watch.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Houston might be one of the best teams in the NFL right now. 9 in a row, obviously the longest winning streak in the NFL with the Saints losing last week. But, yeah, they're playing amazing football on both sides. One of the few teams that's playing some great defense this season. And offensively, they're absolutely electric. Deshaun Watson's been not as great as he was last year, but he's definitely been good enough with the weapons that he has. DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the NFL. I agree, Ryan Dixon. You just said it. The best. He is the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Debatable.
He's got incredible hands, incredible route running. He's got size, everything you could ask for in a receiver. And then on the other side, to compliment him, they got Demaryius Thomas now. Run game's going strong with Lamar Miller. He's an excellent running back with that 97-yard touchdown run that he had a few weeks ago. And he's just been playing some great football. I think the Texans are one of the best teams in the NFL. I love the recognition that they're finally getting because of this 9-game win streak.
Well, I mean, they started 0-3, so you're already in the garbage. And right. Then they've went on this unbelievable streak.
Right, but even at 6-game win streak, I feel like they weren't getting any respect that they deserve
for
a team that normally gets a 6-game win streak. You're usually the talk of the league, and now they finally are the talk of the league, and I like that. I'm very high on the Texans.
Yeah, they dug themselves out of the cellar, so good for them.
Yeah, and just before I go on this game, I made a mistake earlier. The Titans and Jaguars, that was the 9-6 game in Jacksonville. Titans pulled away. Very forgettable game. I apologize for that mistake. obviously, should be a great game. Colts and Texans. Texans, hottest team in the NFL, like you said, Bri. And Colts coming off tough loss in Jacksonville where they got shut out 6-0. And I'm looking for Andrew Luck to have a big bounce back this week. To go with the chalk here and say Texans win, I mean, that's the easy call here. I mean, the Texans are due for a loss 9 in a row. They're due for a bad game. But we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see this game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a weak schedule this week. Just a few games that we want to...
The primetime games are great.
Just want to talk about Baltimore, Kansas City. Can Lamar Jackson keep up with that explosive Kansas City offense? You got New Orleans and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's defense, awful. But New Orleans coming off a tough loss against Keyshav's Cowboys as he stands in the corner, fist pumping. Let's see, what else
well,
we got?
Well, Doug, you're talking about that Chiefs-Ravens game. Chiefs number one offense in the league, Ravens number one defense in the league.
Isn't that the second time we saw that this season?
It is.
We saw it earlier with the Chiefs and the, what's it called? Jaguars.
Yeah, it was.
When they played earlier in the season. We mentioned that.
Well, statistically,
on
the offenses have won in recent memory.
I'm interested to see that contrast. Lamar Jackson is a different style than the Chiefs have seen.
And it's funny because we actually get two of those kind of type of games this week when the Rams play the Bears in Chicago this week on Sunday night. That's one of the best games you could ask for. In my opinion, that's the best offense in the league. That's the best defense in the league. Scoring-wise, because the Ravens are, but just purely all the numbers, the Bears have had the best defense so far this season. And I think the Rams just have an absolutely amazing offense. They do it every single way. Jared Goff throws the ball. He's got the weapons. Todd Gurley's the best running back in the NFL. They could just do it all.
Yeah, like Doug said, with that Bears and Rams game earlier on the fantasy football breakdown, check that out. You never know when you're going to get the game of the year, and it just seems like we get at least one great game every 2 weeks, and this should be remarkable. Mitch Trubisky coming back from injury in all likelihood, and it's going to be a rocking crowd in Soldier Field, and I'm assuming the freezing cold weather. I'm excited to see that game.
Yeah, it should be a really good one. One other game that I didn't want to look over was an NFC tilt against 6-6 Philadelphia and 7-5 Dallas. The NFC East right now is up for grabs. This is a huge game to determine who's going to get that lead in that division, and it's a 4:25 start. I know Keyshav will be watching.
I'm sure Joe Buck will be announcing that one.
Joe Buck, game of the week with Troy Aikman. Should be a great, great game.
They always get the Cowboys.
Yeah, totally.
Every game.
And this should really determine who wins that division with Washington really depleted at the quarterback position. Two of their quarterbacks went down with broken legs. Is so rare.
Very rare, but I'm excited to see the man, the myth, the Sanchez finish out the season.
Absolutely.
For the Redskins. By the way, if you haven't seen yesterday, some reporter asked him about the butt fumble, which is just preposterous. It's a bad play that happened in a blowout game, 7 years ago from now? And Sanchez answered it with as well as he could. He's always been a class guy, and I'm rooting for him to succeed with the Redskins some extent.
I was going
to
say, we can count the Redskins out of that division, right? It's really the Eagles and the Cowboys right now. Winner of this game actually takes first place in the division for the time being. That's very interesting. Eagles are going to have to win this game. It's an absolute must-win. They have the much tougher schedule down the stretch. They still have to play the Rams. They still have to play the Texans. I know that. And the Cowboys have it a little bit lighter, which is definitely in their favor. So I'm going to lean toward the Cowboys here, especially the way that they're playing, man. Defensively, they've actually looked like one of the top teams in the league.
Future
pretty
New York
surprising.
Jet, DeMarcus Lawrence.
I love that.
But the Cowboys aren't going to pay him, man. You're standing there in the corner. The Cowboys are not going to pay DeMarcus
Lawrence.
And I got
news for you. The Cowboys,
they better. They
the Cowboys,
should pay DeMarcus Lawrence, but...
Go to the playoffs, Cowboys can't hang with these teams that are... They can't hang with the Rams. They can't hang with the Saints in New Orleans. So I'm very confident. I'll take my Stephen A. Smith personality out right now. I'm confident that the Cowboys will let all their fans down like they always do.
Wow!
Did you see Stephen A. in First Take last week? That game was First Take was in New Orleans. Stephen A. was walking through in his Drew Brees jersey, getting booed by the whole crowd, guaranteeing that the Saints were going to blow out the Cowboys. I mean, he hates the Cowboys. Stephen A. He He's probably the biggest Cowboy hater you'll see on the air, and he's very open about it.
No doubt.
I'm sure Skip Bayless on First Take back in the day had something to do with that. He's a
totally.
Big Cowboy fan.
But I'm just a little bit disappointed in Washington if I'm a fan of that team. Colin Kaepernick sitting on his couch, not playing football. And they discussed bringing him in, and you're going to start Mark Sanchez, a quarterback, over a guy that led his team to the NFC Championship, to the Super Bowl.
I agree with you.
He hasn't played football. I understand he hasn't played football in
exactly.
a while.
I agree with you a year ago.
You have to you need to, someone's got to give him a shot because you're starting Mark Sanchez. The guy's a facilitator. You want a guy that's going to go
the
win you games.
Down king.
Their defense could be legit, but they're on the field so much because their offense is not effective enough because they don't have a guy that can lead the team.
Look, I agree. Colin Kaepernick absolutely should have been on a team a year ago, but at this point, he's been out of the game too long. For all we know, he could be out of football shape completely, doing his Nike commercials now. You have no idea what he's up to right now. We just don't know. I don't think the reason that he's not been signed yet is because of the controversy anymore. I think it was last year, but at this point, I really think he would have been picked up by the Jaguars. He would have a team that was contending. The Jaguars early in the year, when they were struggling and people were calling for Blake Bortles' head, I think they would have gone for Kaepernick if he was the right option. I don't think he's the right option anymore.
Well, you never know. I mean, the guy's expressed his desire to play football over and over again. I mean, he's been out of the league for a while now. I get it, but I think he deserves a shot. And we're talking about the Redskins. Our resident insider, Joseph Choi, relaying some news to the Fantasy Football group chat. Quote, Alex Smith may never play football again. I saw some reports, something about an infection with that injury. And
that's so sad.
I'm just wishing the best for him.
Yeah, wish the best. And as with that, I have to take off. Got lacrosse practice. We're going to be great this year. Lacrosse.
Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
We'll talk lacrosse a little bit later down the road.
Have a good one, bro.
Thanks.
So, Bry Guy off to lacrosse practice, but we're still here for more on the Colts Corner podcast. So the Washington Redskins, they'll go with Mark Sanchez this week. Seattle will go with Russell Wilson. Minnesota, Kirk Cousins, more stable quarterback situations in those games. And an interesting Monday night matchup. Minnesota, they just aren't clicking too well. They just haven't been able to figure it out and pull away. Seattle, doing some stuff on the ground game. They've got Chris Carson going to work, Mike Davis,
Rashad Penny,
and Rashad Penny, and Russell Wilson does it with his legs too. He's very underrated, great thrower, great runner, and just a great overall athlete. So it should be an exciting one on Monday night.
Doug, make no mistake here, the winner of this game probably going to the playoffs right now. Seattle fifth in the playoff picture, Minnesota is sixth. They're going head to head. You got Carolina right behind them. You got Philly right behind them.
Oh, Carolina. What a collapse.
Carolina collapse, but I'm never doubting my boy Cam Newton. You never know.
Fair enough.
But Seattle, Minnesota, the winner of this game is in all likelihood going to the NFC playoffs and getting that fifth seed. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to see that matchup on Monday night. Seattle, the 12th man, always a great atmosphere, especially in primetime. And Kirk Cousins really been disappointing in primetime. I saw, I think with that win versus the Packers, I think he's 5-12 career in primetime games. I'm not 100% sure, but obviously not a great record. And Seattle's a daunting task, especially on the road.
Well, the Seahawks actually in their wins this season, they have the teams they've beaten have a combined record of 28-55-1. But in the games that they're losing, the teams they're losing to have a combined record of 34-14, which means that they're not beating teams that are doing well. They're beating up on teams that aren't really performing, which could also lead to them not really performing well in the playoffs. Because if you're eating up on those bad teams, you've also got to beat the good teams too. So that's definitely going to help affect them in the long run.
There we go, stats. And no, but he's absolutely right.
Totally.
You got to beat who's on your schedule, and come playoffs, hopefully the weakened schedule doesn't come to hurt him. I mean, the teams that they did beat that you said did have a winning record though, right?
I mean, barely.
But I totally get what you're saying. You got to beat the good teams and just beat whoever's on your schedule.
Yeah, usually I'm excited to watch Monday night games, but I just can't deal with Jason Witten and Booger McFarland. They're just not.
I think if you put Boog in the booth, I think we'll have a better dynamic. This guy's on the field. He's blocking fans' views with his Boogmobile, just going back and forth.
But you know what it is? I think they're trying to mimic the NHL inside the glass, where the guy is literally on the ice. He's
Hockey's
inside the bench.
Though.
I know. I'm not saying that it works.
I know.
I'm not saying that it works. I'm just saying I think that's how they're trying to mimic it, and that's how they're trying to do it. But Monday night has just been a tough one for me to watch, just difficult for me to do so. So, Mike, what do you got on baseball? Because I just got a couple of alerts that I want to talk about.
I have lots. So I just basically – I pretty much I'm going to sum up everything. We'll talk about some important stuff that's going on in baseball. But basically, I'm just going to bring up some of the important things, and we're going to discuss whether you think it's kind of a good idea or not. So last week, the Nationals officially got Yan Gomes, the catcher from the Indians, in a trade. They got him for outfielder Daniel Johnson and righty Jeffrey Rodriguez. Pretty much, it's not been a great thing for the Mets this offseason to watch a guy like Yan Gomes go away, you know, because they're definitely looking for a guy like him. But Yan Gomes had a an okay season last year, but outfielder Daniel Johnson, he actually did not have an amazing offseason, an amazing career in the minors. He only had a batting average of .271 and on base percentage of .329. And then the pitcher that they got, who was Jeffrey Rodriguez, he managed to have a 3.31 ERA last year in one phase of the minors, but overall he's had a 4.31 ERA his whole career, which isn't, that's not that great in the minor leagues.
Agreed.
So, I mean, you gotta say, I mean, this isn't really a good trade for the Indians. I mean, they traded a great catcher who's really, they're getting him for not a lot. And I don't really think it's a smart trade for the Indians if they're trying to do well in the future.
Well, they have that guy Perez as their starting catcher.
Salvador,
so,
my boy.
No, it's not Salvador. No, it's the other guy.
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. But let's talk bigger trades. Let's not talk about a Yan Gomes trade. Let's talk about
my boy Paul Goldschmidt or the Mets trade. Either one.
We haven't even spoken about the Mets. Yeah, we haven't even spoken about the Mets, and I'm surprised. But
we will. I was going down the line in progression of time. I forgot what that word's called. We need Brian. He's the word guy.
Whatever. Who cares?
All right. Chronological order?
Yeah, it's chronological order. That's the word.
Great.
I'm the new word guy now, Brian.
In his absence. So the next thing that happened was the a very, very big guy coming from Asia.
Tanaka.
Yes. I think his Yusei Kikuchi. Kikuchi. Yeah, that's right. Kikuchi. So he's coming out of Japan, and they put him up in the market, and MLB teams are going to start to bid on him. But overall he had a 2.81 in the minors. In Japan, 2.81 ERA is really good. That's pretty solid out in Japan, where some guys can hit really well. But I mean, overall, his
home
runs,
when you're throwing 1,000 innings out there in Japan too, they don't rest those guys.
That's true.
His home runs per nine was 0.9 this season, and it was 6.8 hits per nine, which is fantastic. And his strikeouts per nine is only 8, which isn't that high, but I think he would be a very valuable player on an MLB team, especially a guy who needs a solid starting pitcher the Yankees.
Yeah, as a Yankee fan, I'm just a little bit disappointed with this offseason, how it's went. Obviously, a lot of big guys have signed. I'm not disappointed in the fact that these guys are being signed for huge contracts and the Yankees haven't bid that. I understand it. Some of these guys aren't worth it. You know what? Patrick Corbin, he's a solid pitcher.
5 years, $100 million. He got 6 years, $140. Good for him.
But look at his numbers.
They're not worth it.
So at the end of the day, as a Yankee fan, you got to be content with that. But
I'm a little.
A lot of players are coming off the board now. They better figure it out.
Eovaldi back to the Red Sox. Less than an hour ago, Carlos Carrasco back to the Indians. The Yanks were looking at him. So I mean, you got Jay Happ. You got to get Jay Happ on board.
You got Happ, you have Keuchel, and it says the Indians are increasingly motivated to move Corey Kluber or Trevor Bauer.
You can't move Andujar. Unless we're guaranteed to get Machado. I don't want to get rid of Andujar. The amount of upside this kid has, he was the rookie of the year. He came out of nowhere, broke the Yankees record for doubles, hit over, 290? I mean, just an unreal season for Andujar. When everyone was saying Gleyber Torres was going to be the rookie of the year the whole year, obviously, I mean, Shohei Ohtani was not well deserved. But
agreed.
But Gael Andujar just an outstanding year, and I'm really just not. I'm not with. I don't want the Yankees to get rid of Miguel Andujar because I mean, I see my boy Keisha in the corner nodding his head. He's another Yankees fan. I just think the upside's too high, and I wouldn't give it up for Kluber. But in Cashman, we trust, you know.
Yeah, it's very understandable that you would not want to give away the AL Rookie of the Year. But another guy from the Indians, Michael Brantley, outfielder, said he's telling teams that he's willing to play first base. So it's another piece to add to the puzzle for Cashman if he can try and figure stuff out. Maybe Voigt gets moved, Andujar, whatever you want to do. But Michael Brantley, we looked at his stats. He's a legit hitter.
He's good.
Is Michael Brantley saying he wants to play first base, saying that he wants to play for the Yankees?
He'll just want to play first base because
I'm just kidding. I know. Make yourself more versatile to the free agency
like
market.
Like Harper did.
But the Yankees don't have any room for outfielders. I mean, unless you're bringing on a guy like Bryce Harper, which is obviously a different scenario, but
It's very early in the MLB offseason.
The winter meetings haven't even
happened. But a lot of stuff's going on right now, and the Yankees are sitting by. I mean, in Cashman, we do trust, and every offseason he seems to pull it out. But in recent years, that pitching staff has not been strong enough, and that's really been the Achilles heel for the Yankees in the last few seasons. And you could see it definitely hurt him in the playoffs this year. And if you bring back J.A. Happ, what have you really done? You've only brought in one guy.
Right. Well, actually, no. They got Paxton.
Yeah, one guy. That's what I'm talking about. It's one guy that you're bringing in as a potentially elite starting pitcher, and you bring back Happ. I don't know. It's too early to think. A lot of guys off the board already, so we'll keep you guys updated on that kind of stuff moving forward. Garofa, you want to talk Mets trade if you want. Yeah. We can move on if you're not feeling it.
Well, another thing I just got was the Phillies have now entered the Hap market, which is actually pretty interesting because they are really going for it, especially because they lost.
Can the Phillies get out of here?
I wish.
The Phillies are just going to spend all the money they have and more. It's just unreal. They want everyone.
And that's not how it goes. You can't win games like that. It rarely happens where you spend big bucks and it pays off. I mean, look at the...
Wait a minute, you're a Yankee fan.
Well,
I'm saying rarely. Does any other team do it? Okay. No other team does it. The Yanks are the Yanks for the best, baby. Give me that. Attaboy.
There we go.
Okay, so, but just a little bit of the contract's worth. I mean, I feel like these guys they're giving them way too many years. I mean, some of these contracts, I mean, you look at last year was projected to be the best free agent market we'd ever seen, and it completely sucked. I mean, there were some of the guys like Yu Darvish didn't sign till like February. It was just a horrible market.
Neil Walker signed with the Yankees after spring training.
Right. So I feel like these teams might be overcompensating this year, and they're like, well, they're these great guys. We missed out on a lot of people last year, so let's just give them way too much money for way too many years. And I feel like that's the problem.
Yeah, and Jay Happ just turned 36. So the Phillies going to go out there, give him a 3-4 year deal?
Yeah, he's going to be useless after this year.
The Yanks can't do that. I mean, you can't pay the guy big money as a 40-year-old.
Let's talk about paying too much money. This guy, Corbin, from 2012 to 2018, his ERA has been 4.54, 3.41, 3.60, 5.15, 4.03, and he had his best year, 3.15. last year. So you're telling me that they're going to pay six years, $140 million for a guy that is an average pitcher?
It's more than Yu Darvish made last year with the Cubs.
The $6 million, the 6 years, I don't agree with. But the money I do. I really have always liked Patrick Corbin since the second he came up. He can't help that he's playing in such a horrible division where everyone's going to be hitting bombs, especially off the Diamondbacks.
Well, are you an elite pitcher that's worth $140 million, or are you a guy that deserves to be a third, fourth starter? Which, if you think about it, that's what they have here.
Oh,
Patrick
yeah.
Corbin's their third starter.
Yeah.
Because they got Scherzer and Strasburg.
Oh, it's Scherzer and Strasburg. Right. Well, what am I saying?
Because everyone wanted him to go to the Phillies.
Because everyone, it was a pre-assumed assumption that he was either going to the Yanks or the Phillies. And getting the alert on my phone, then he went to the Nats. I'm like,
Which was out of nowhere. But so moving on a little bit. So the Robinson Cano trade was officially finalized last week. I actually have a little bit of – I kind of took some of the important things from Brody Van Wagenen's interview with the Mets.
Wow.
And I kind of put them together. So here is Brody Van Wagenen's interview.
Today, we are here to formally announce a 7-player trade with the Seattle Mariners. Jay Bruce, Anthony Swarzak, Jared Kelenic, Justin Dunn, and Gerson Batista will be headed to Seattle. And we are thrilled to welcome 2 all-star players in Robinson Cano and Edwin Diaz. This trade should be a signal to our players and to our fans that words alone will not define this franchise. Rather, it will be hard work, collaboration, and unwavering commitment. We believe that everything is possible and nothing is impossible. Most importantly, everyone should know that these 2 players are here to help us accomplish our goals of winning now and in the future.
Brody and Jeff, this question's for you. This trade seems to show that you guys are very serious about winning this coming season. So I guess, what are you guys prepared to do next to kind of add to the roster and continue, whether it's more trades or signing free agents, I guess, to help kind of fix the rest of the weaknesses?
Yeah, I think it goes without saying, but I'll state it very clearly, that we did not make this move to have this be our last move. I think we have talent already on the roster. I said consistently throughout my tenure that we want to bolster our team. We want to improve our production next year. We want to win more games, and hopefully we can continue to add more talent around guys like this, and that's our mission.
So that was the interview with Brody, and I think he really – he kind of just spoke for himself there. That was very, very interesting. I mean, he's pretty much saying that that they're going out and they're going to get more people, which is great because that's something that you never hear Sandy Alderson say. Sandy Alderson be like, well, this is the last thing we're doing because we don't have the money for it. So Brody's going out there, and he's being aggressive. He's said he's made everybody available. He made Noah Syndergaard. He made Jacob deGrom. He made anybody on that roster available to help this team win now. And he also said that this opening day roster for the Mets is going to be – it's completely different from the one that you saw last season, and that's because he's going to blow this team apart to help him win. His goal, he doesn't care about personal ties. He wants them to win now, and that's what his mission is, and he's going to do that at any cost.
Well, I got to shout out Joe and Evan on the fan, Joe Benigno, Evan Roberts, great show. But they gave me inspiration for this on the car ride up to Maryland. I was thinking, this trade, obviously Cano is what everyone's going to talk about. Edwin Diaz is the highlight of this trade.
Absolutely.
Totally. 100%. This guy's 24 years old. He's the best closer in the league last year. Cano, what do you have, 4 more years left on his deal? You're going to be paying him dead money by the end of his deal. You probably only got, what, 2-3 good years out of him max? I mean, and Cano's been an unbelievable talent. Don't get me wrong. It's just, I mean, I think Diaz is the centerpiece of this trade. And Graffa, I know you're not too happy to get rid of Kelenic and Dunn. But it is what it is at this point, you know?
It's all right. I mean, the thing that I've thought about pretty much is you don't know what these guys are going to be in the future. And if they help out the Mariners, they help out the Mariners. That's all. That's all you got to really think about is if they're going to help out that team, then you know that you had a good prospect. But if the Mets win now, if the Mets make it to the postseason this year, then Brody's going to be praised for giving him up because his mission was to win now. And if they do that, then that's exactly what we hoped for. More things with the Mariners. Last week, they actually traded Gene Segura to the Phillies for Carlos Santana and J.P. Crawford. Very interesting trade, and I think completely overpaid by the Phillies. I think it's ridiculous to trade Crawford for Segura. I don't think Segura's all too amazing. He batted .304 this season, but I never really saw Gene Segura as a guy who's going to be an anchor for your team. And when they did that, they actually threw out Manny Machado out of their thing because Manny Machado said he doesn't want to go to the Phillies anymore.
Yeah, but Gene Segura is a legit player. That guy can hit the
he's not
he
Manny
can
Machado.
Hit the baseball, and he can play a great shortstop. I understand he's not Manny Machado, but that's what the Phillies did. I don't know. They wanted a guy that is a centerpiece at shortstop, and I think that they got the guy they wanted. I don't know if he's the guy they needed, but he's the guy that they wanted, so that's what they did.
Yeah, and the Mariners definitely got their shortstop of the future in J.P. Crawford.
Absolutely.
Totally.
I know he's a stud. I've read a lot about him and see him in the big league soon.
Yeah, well, this year he only batted .214 for the Phillies, but he has been praised as the best shortstop prospect in baseball, which is that's amazing praise for a guy like that who didn't really perform well this year. But Gene Segura, like I said, he's not a Manny Machado. And honestly, I feel like the Phillies basically are blowing smoke in everybody because they said that they're going to spend, we're going to get Harper, we're going to get Machado, and now Machado doesn't want to go there. Harper's probably not going to go there, and they're probably not going to get anybody relevant this offseason other than Segura.
Well, I think that they put themselves out there as being aggressive in this free agency time. But obviously, you're not going to be able to get all those guys. There's too many free agent players that need to be signed by these teams for you to get all of them. It's too much money. There's other teams competing for these guys. And as a Yankee fan, I'm thinking maybe they're just waiting to sign one or two big contracts, maybe get a couple more pitchers just at a lower cost, and maybe call it an offseason. Maybe a trade. You never know. Cashman pulls off these trades that I've never seen before. But if Andujar's on the move, Manny Machado better be playing third base next year,
or else I'm
going to be very frustrated. But let's move on to our last segment of the day, our random topic. Garoff is going to give us the topic. We don't know it before he gives it to us, and then we will give our answers on the topic. Ryan Dixon will join
Constantine can join us too. Some of the young guys in there.
We're not doing player of the week. Okay.
We know. Okay, cool. So the very first topic of the week question is: what is one thing that you wish you were good at? So for me, for my whole life, I always wanted to be a great baseball player. As most of you know, I'm really not. But, you know, I wish I could be so good at baseball because I always loved to and wanted to be in the major leagues, to be able to be an MLB player, to experience walking out on that field in opening day with all the fans cheering as loud as you can, you know, because it's an amazing feeling. But you know what? It didn't work out. But you know what? You gotta wish.
Of course, Mike. And we had some fun times on that 8th grade baseball
team. Absolutely.
And
spitting seeds.
That was
course,
great.
Stealing
was
stealing Frankel's barbecue.
That was outstanding.
Me and Frankel. And one thing I wish I could do that like it's not really attainable. I wish I could like jump. I wish I had hops.
That's so true.
I mean, I have athletic skills. I'm not the best athlete out there, but if I could jump, I mean, that changed the game, you know? I mean, anyone can jump. I want to jump. I want to be able to dunk, all right? If I can dunk, if I can, like, make some versatile plays on defense and basketball, football, I can maul some defenders in our little flag games, Doug. I mean, I think it just changed the game.
I mean, hey, you can drop some pretty nice threes, but, I mean, honestly, me...
We'll see.
Me, I mean, I have no hops at all. I can't even touch the rim, and I'm 6'1". Oh, yeah. So that's pretty sad for me. I just have legs. I have lead legs. So let's move on to you guys.
On the jumping topic that Ben was talking about, I wish I could dunk, you know?
That'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, that would be pretty sick. I'm 5'3", 4-ish.
You're only a freshman, though.
Yeah, I'm only a freshman.
Don't rule it out.
Yeah, I'm only going to fill out to about, like, 6 foot, probably. So
it's not bad.
It's not bad. Well, Garofa, you're 6'1". So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I wish I could dunk. You know, I wish I could throw down dunks like Zion can, but, you know.
I feel you, man.
You know what? Just keep dreaming.
Yeah, can't.
You're not done.
Yeah, can't have everything, I guess. Yeah.
That's true. Ryan Dixon, give me it.
All right, so if I had a decision, it would be something fast, for sure. It would probably be running, like being able to run really fast.
Okay.
Usain Bolt?
Yeah, Usain Bolt.
That's a good one.
It's great. Phenomenal.
Fair enough. If I could... What is the question?
What's one thing you wish you were good at?
I wish I was good at math because that would make my life so
you
much easier.
You're fine at math.
No, I'm fine at math. I wish that I was very good at
better,
math. Where I could...
Like Einstein?
Where I don't want to worry about math. Why do I need to worry about math?
Math is trash.
You know what? I just want to be great at math so that I can move on with my life and just talk about sports, think about sports 24/7. You know what? I don't want
to
be thinking about integration. Whatever the topic is.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's for sure.
So whatever. I wish I was good at math.
All right. So the next topic is, what is your favorite TV show right now? Pretty good one.
Wow.
For me, I've got a few. I'm sure probably everybody knows the show This Is Us, but that's not my favorite. My favorite's Blue Bloods on it's a detective show. I love it. I watch it every week with my family. It's an amazing show, but got to give Blue Bloods that one.
Yeah, I got my classic in there, Friends. But right now, my favorite show is That 70s Show. I'm getting home. I'm doing my homework. I'm binging it.
I will not be doing any homework. I'll just be watching it.
I just started. Yeah, Doug.
Maybe that's why the math is a problem.
Really funny show. And it's just a pleasure to watch. A lot of famous actors in there, too. They got their big break from that show, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis. That's how they met, actually. Married now, so.
Yeah, the show is classic. Constantine?
Favorite show? I don't know.
It could be like a talk show or whatever.
Yeah, anything.
The Colts Corner podcast.
Yeah, probably the Colts Corner podcast. Yeah, I just enjoy my Thursdays.
He's getting brownie points.
Yeah, you know, that's how you do it around here. Yeah. Yeah, definitely the Colts Corner podcast, the fantasy football breakdown. It's between
absolutely.
Those two,
right? Yes.
This kid's got his head on his shoulders.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Upgraded to premier status.
Yeah, let's make him the official
fan of the year,
new host of the podcast.
Ryan Dixon,
follow that one up.
All right, I think I'm gonna go with Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty, phenomenal show.
It is very good.
It's both equally stupid but equally amazing. And Rick and Morty, phenomenal show. I suggest you watch it.
Okay, I love this kid's personality. It's unreal. It's great. My favorite show of all time, The Office. If you haven't watched it, I don't know what you're doing.
I have not.
It's the funniest show I've ever watched. It's the greatest show I've ever watched.
I'll check it out.
The bond that I have with that show is unbelievable.
Doug, weren't we at the Islanders game that one time and Pam from The Office was there?
Oh, my goodness. She was there.
Didn't you?
No, we didn't talk to her. We didn't get a picture or anything. We just saw her. She was with her kids. You know, you don't want to disturb that.
Of course.
You're in an Islander game. You know, you don't want to be.
She's
rude.
Just like the rest of us. Come on.
Exactly. Mike. So, The Office, great show.
Next one.
All right. So this one's gonna promote a little bit of debate. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yes. No. No. Wait.
Yes.
I just heard that question wrong. Hot dogs. Hot dog's not a sandwich. It's a hot dog. Come on. Like, yeah.
Is it a sandwich? A sandwich is
no.
Two,
it's
two
a hot dog. Hot dog's in a separate category, man. It's a hot dog.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Come on. You're not eating a sandwich at the ballpark. You're eating a hot dog at
I
the
agree.
Ballpark.
I'm just... I'm
a hot,
promoting
I don't
question.
Know why I said... I think the
don't
question
the messenger.
Went through one ear and out the other, but a hot dog is 100% not a sandwich in my eyes.
Like,
what is wrong with you?
You think a hot dog?
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Hot dog is a sandwich. All right. When you have a sandwich, it's two pieces of bread on each side of a meat or whatever.
It's one piece. It's not separated.
It's one piece.
It's a little pocket.
So
it's
if you rip it apart, if you rip it apart, yeah, does that mean that it's a sandwich?
Yes.
No, because you don't. When you say I'm getting a sandwich, I'm getting a turkey sandwich. I'm getting, you know, what am I saying? I'm getting a hot dog sandwich.
You're getting a pork sandwich.
A hot dog is in a separate category. It's literally its own thing. There is no sandwich. It's a turkey sandwich. It's a hamburger. It's not a hamburger sandwich. And it's not a hot dog
sandwich.
It's a sandwich,
too.
Shut up.
It's not.
Just like a hamburger.
And barbecue food does not qualify.
Just like the hamburger. It's just one name. You don't say hamburger sandwich, right? But a hamburger is a sandwich, isn't it?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
It's a hamburger.
Yes.
It's a hamburger. There is no way that that's
Ryan,
a sandwich.
Ryan, we need your input. The breaking vote.
That might be one of the most stupid questions I've ever heard in my life.
So what's your answer?
A hot dog is not a sandwich.
Well, I mean, obviously the Dixons would agree on that one.
Yeah.
A hot dog is a hot dog. A hamburger is a hamburger, and a sandwich is a sandwich.
We are getting fired up today.
Wow, he's getting fired up over hot dogs and hamburgers. That is unbelievable. So, those were our opinions. I don't know. Do we have another question, or are we good?
No, that was it.
No, that was it.
Great
and,
way to end.
Great way to end.
That'll be on the Instagram. By the way, if you do not follow us on Instagram, at Colts Corner Podcast, make sure you check it out.
Of course.
Get upcoming information.
Give us that follow. If you're listening to the podcast, we've got extra stuff on there. We have links to the podcast. We've got links to the website. We've got links to our live streams coming up. Everything that you need to know about Hills West Media, what we're doing, is on that Instagram. So hit us up on that. Start giving us a follow. We'll follow you right back. And another great week here.
Yeah, before we go, I just want to give a little quick shout-out to the college football playoff. Alabama, Oklahoma, 1-4, and Clemson, Notre Dame, 2-3. Should be some dandies in there. And as always, we would like to thank the following people: Mr. Doxy, Mr. Ashuti, Dr. Catapan and the administration, the Board of Education, our audience listens every Thursday. And finally, a very special thank you to the class of 2016 for their generous donation towards our podcast setup. I'm Ben Dixon alongside Constantine, Ryan, Doug, Mikey Stats. We will see you next week.